lovely as lightning and flashes, brighter than sun and beams. He cometh the mighty Jehovah, but not as a dreamer of dreams. Regal in splendor he cometh, scepter of iron to sway. Upon his inaugural day comes for the help of his people, conquer faithful and true, and calls for the poor in the heavens. Behold, I will make all things new. He cometh,
oh, hear him,
he cometh,
we hear him.
Shall the world feel the power of the great King in array? For long has its waiting Messiah its ransom from sin soon to pay. Earth shall be filled with his knowledge, its waters and cover the sea. And then for the glorious millennium, riches and honor and glory, saints will enjoy with him then, the climax of hope's radiant story, proclaimed in past ages to men. Death swallowed up in glad victory, life everlasting will reign, the earth and the heavens jointly will sing one melodious strain. He cometh, he cometh, battalions with him in review. He cometh, he cometh,
don't fail him,
he cometh to make all things new.
Now we're ready for our surprise speaker.
Well, yeah, hopefully you won't be disappointed. But I thank the Lord for how he's helped me put this message together today, and I hope it's a blessing to you. I've really been struck over the past several years about redeeming the time and what that means. And so that's what we're going to study this afternoon. So if you want to turn to Ephesians 5:16, we're going to learn a little bit about redeeming the time. So Ephesians 5:16 says, redeem the time because the days are evil. And if we look at the Amplified Bible and how it has interpreted, or how this verse was interpreted according to the Amplified Bible, it says, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of every opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. So the Greek word redeem in this verse, redeeming the time, and I won't get the pronunciation right probably, is exagorazo. It is a strengthened form of the term agorazo, which means to buy, B-U-Y, to buy. It denotes to buy out. Exagorazo does not signify the actual redemption, but the price paid with a view to it. A different form of the word redeem, called lutru, signifies the actual deliverance or the setting at liberty that Christ did for us at the cross. So this is not the same word as we typically think of as redemption or redeem or paying the ransom as Christ did for us. But this redeem here means to buy up at the marketplace or to buy up the opportunity. And opportunity is regarded as a commodity or a resource to be used by believers. So redeeming the time. Time is the Greek word kairos, or a season, a time in which something is seasonable. In other words, making the most of every opportunity, turning each opportunity to the best advantage, since none can be recalled if missed. In other words, once spent, time is an opportunity that we do not get back. We can't turn the clock back to spend our time in a different way. So time is valuable. It goes by quickly, and the way in which people spend their time varies greatly, definitely by their age. It varies by their education, their stage in life, other factors, but ultimately it comes down to our own priorities or priorities that others have set for us. And the way that people spend their time typically has a purpose. If we think about little kids, especially when little children are younger, their parents guide them in the use of their time. They say, you're going to go to school and you're going to get an education. You're going to fulfill household duties, participate in family activities, and in some cases, fortunately for many of us here, in going to church. That was a responsibility, even as a young child. And as we as children become more independent, we may be given the opportunity to choose how we spend our time to some degree, or our free time. And as we get older, our responsibilities increase. So we use time as we get older to finish our education, to start to work, maybe to get married, and to start a family, along with other responsibilities that we just talked about. And some use time to work and to further their earthly possessions. And it's been said that time is money. We've heard that saying before. But as Christians, we know that time has a more important or a higher purpose than this. Time is a gift that God has given us, and it's a gift that he wants us to make the most of. In the world that we live in today, time seems to be passing especially quickly, and maybe it's just that I'm getting older. But whether we're pursuing it or spending it in pursuit of earthly gain, or we're spending the time we have pursuing spiritual gain, it's still going quickly. And if we want to run the race to win Christ as our bridegroom, we must seek to know him fully and to grow up into him in all things, that this needs to be our top priority. Of course, the Lord knows we are in a season of life that he's placed us in, and at the time, and you know, as a parent, I have the responsibility for taking care of my children still, but you may be still a student, and it's your responsibility to go to school and to be the best student you can. You may be an employee, a spouse, a parent, some of our time has to be taken up in fulfilling these roles. But what really matters is, what is our heart attitude? Where are our affections? When we look at the context, and we always have learned consistently from Gene that we have to look at the context of where this verse is. There's in verse 16, if we look before and we look after, there's actually abundant instruction about from Paul about how to spend our time in a way that glorifies God. And I really benefited from looking at Brother Copley's commentary on the book of Ephesians as I prepared this talk. And the book of Ephesians actually lists seven walks that the Christian should follow. And this, what we're going to look at a little bit earlier in chapter 5, is the fifth one. So if we look at verse 2, well, we'll read verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And, you know, therefore, of course, points to the verses before at the end of chapter 4, where Paul is encouraging the Ephesians here, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, and let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another. This is a verse that that I had the girls try to memorize when they were younger and in conflict with each other. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So verse or chapter 5 starts with, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. So this is the fifth walk of the seven, as Christ has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. So that's the fifth of the seven walks. And if we skip down to verse 8, we find the sixth instruction about our walk. And verse 8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. So there's some instruction right there about walking and spending our time. But there's a lot more here. If we skip down to verse 15, we see the seventh and final instruction about walking in this in the book of Ephesians, and that is, I mean, that explicitly is about walking anyway. There's a lot of other instruction that relates to our walk. But verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly. And circumspectly means a wise walk or an accurate walk, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So there's a little bit about, you know, our walk before that verse of redeeming the time. And then we'll see a little bit about what's after. So redeeming, again, means to buy up for oneself or to really take the opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise. This is verse 17, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he gives further instruction about how time and wisdom seem to be tied here, and how to use our time wisely, how to redeem the time. And referring to that, so verse 17, therefore, so looking back at what we've just read, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, or be understanding of what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And I think, you know, we know that being drunk with wine is much more than the what we might think of in today's world about getting drunk, but it could be the wine of prosperity, it could be the wine of fame, the wine of other earthly attractions, recognition, it could even be the wine of religion. And how quickly, if you think about it, these can eat up our precious time. So it's vitally important that we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives to guide us and change our desires about spending our time, to transform us. So in our Sunday school, we have been learning about the different gifts in the body of Christ, and the first two verses of Romans 12 are ones that the kids have committed to memory about their letting the Lord transform their desires. And I'll just read these really quickly, and I think it also applies to the way that we spend our time. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies or grace of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in him is all we need to know about how to spend our time. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, he's going to guide us and change our desires again about how to spend our time. And Brother Copley said in his commentary that through feeding on the Word and by frequent times of worship, we keep filled with the Spirit. And we'll read that in verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And we'll read a little bit more here, but it's more than just a one-time thing, as we know. It's a continual being full of the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to pilot or govern our daily lives. So going back to verse 19 here, or going on down, he instructs the Ephesians, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then submitting, there's more in verse 5, or chapter 5 here, but we'll stop with submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. And this is one example of how walking according to the Spirit becomes practical in our lives. So as I mentioned, time and wisdom seem to be tied or related to each other, not just here, but in several places. We just saw this a little bit in verses 16 and 17. But even back in the Old Testament, so if we turn back to Psalm 90, we're getting some instruction about considering our time. And this says it is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And verse 12 in Psalm 90 says, "Teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So if we think about, again, how are we numbering our days? We know only the Lord has the number of our days. But as we consider our lives, as we consider the time that the Lord has given us, again, not knowing that exact number, but considering the season in which he's placed us, and also seeking after applying our hearts unto wisdom, that again is shows a relationship between considering the time or redeeming the time and wisdom. And then let's turn to Colossians 4, and we'll read a couple verses here which are fairly similar to what Paul said in Ephesians. We'll turn to Colossians 4, 5, and 6, verses 5 and 6. So here, Paul's giving instruction to the Colossians, and verse 5 says, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time." So here we see again, redeeming the time, and he goes on to say, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." And so looking at the Amplified version again of these two verses, it says, "Conduct yourself with wisdom in your interactions with outsiders," maybe non-believers. "Make the most of every opportunity," like treat it as something precious. And Sister Bodie's commentary about these verses says, "We are instructed to take advantage of everything that comes within our reach, every circumstance, every providence, to enrich ourselves spiritually. Thus, our everyday life will afford continual opportunities of advancing heavenly interests." There are bargains being offered to us of advancing heaven. I'm sorry. There are bargains offered to us, in fact, that are lying at our doors, from which we may realize quick returns or eternal dividends, but only a wise man will recognize their value. So, again, in this couple of verses, it seems that Paul is saying, especially there in verse 6, "Let your speech at all times be gracious and pleasant, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer each one who questions you." So Paul may be saying that as we walk in wisdom toward those who are outside the faith, speaking the truth gracefully to them and guided by the Holy Spirit in how to answer them, this is an example of redeeming the time or making the most of the opportunity. And this is consistent with what we talked about at the beginning of this message about redeeming the time and how the word redeem in that verse 16 of Ephesians 5 means to buy up at the marketplace or buy up the opportunity. So I do want to read a little bit about what Brother Copley said about this passage, because I think it's really enlightening, and it really caused me to think a little bit more deeply about the time, and not just that the time would be between me and the Lord, that it might be more than that. So redeeming the time or buying up the opportunity, and he goes on to talk about the meaning of that word redeem, as we discussed in the Greek. And it literally means, he says, to haunt the marketplace, to do business there, to buy for oneself. And he gives an example of a thrifty businessman and how he watches for bargains, and that he's not particular about what he buys if only he can make it count dollars in his purse. And that's, again, thinking about spiritual dollars, not actual dollars. But he's going to deal in even little things if he thinks that they're going to be the most gainful for him. And just so the saint who walks spiritually wise, he makes every providence count eternal revenue into his heavenly bank. He converts every obnoxious moment, maybe those inconveniences that we face. So he converts every obnoxious moment into blessing to another, so blessing to another, and into gain for himself. The opportunity which another fails to see or puts from him, the wise saint grabs quickly. It may seem unworthy of notice, like Samson's jawbone of an ass, or too stupendous to undertake, like Goliath against David. But the wise man passes over nothing flippantly and shrinks from no offered task. He is grateful for the smallest blessings and runs after the largest ones. God shows men their privileges of blessing and usefulness continually. Then he furnishes them sufficient capital of wisdom and faith to buy up the opportunity. So we might think, well, how will we know it? What this, you know, is this an opportunity, and how should I use it for the glory of God? He's going to give us the knowledge, the wisdom, the faith to take the most advantage of the opportunities. So he goes on to say, read in verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He says the spiritual marketeer observes one governing principle: what is God's will? With him, it is not a question of brains or experience or equipment or means, but what does the Lord want? So I would encourage you all to read the commentary, but I really was encouraged by the way that Brother Copley kind of broke down this and really encouraged us to be filled with the Spirit continually, to be relying on the Lord to show us every opportunity that we can take advantage of for our own spiritual growth and for the good of others. So I will stop reading there, but I'd encourage you all to look at it. So there's a lot more that could be said about walking in wisdom and using our time wisely to the glory of God. To study his word, to pray, and to seek for him to transform us into the image of his dear son. But I see that I'm about out of time. So let's close by turning back to Ephesians 5, and then we're going to turn to Romans 13. So Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 14, therefore, he says, well, he starts in verse 13 by saying, all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So he said something similar to the Romans, encouraging them that the time is short. In Romans 13, verse 11, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the work of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And he goes on, but I'll just say that the main point here is now is the time. Now is the time to redeem the time. And some might say, seize the day. Take the opportunity he has given you to know him to the fullest during these evil days in which we live, and believe that he will give you the strength and wisdom to do so, because he's faithful and he will bring about what he has started to do in our lives. So that's all. Thank you.